The reason people aren't financially free is they don't know what to do and they don't know where to start. I want you to join Joey and I at the Virtual Inner Circle Live, April the 4th through the 6th, as we share with you the exact answers to those questions. We only do this event one time per year. I don't want you to miss out. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter promo code podcast. When you're at this event, you're going to get your investor DNA. You're going to get access to up to 6 different passive income strategies. So you know, leaving this event, exactly what to do, taking our decades of knowledge so that you can start becoming financially free. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter the promo code podcast.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome. This is the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Your host, Joey, the Italian Stallion Murray, joined as always by Russ, the idea guy, Morgan. So Russ, we had a huge opportunity this past summer to teach Chapel to Read. This is something I was kind of overwhelmed at the beginning, but we had this 100 easy lessons or something. I can't remember the name of the book, but it's kind of a go-to thing. And you know what I noticed in that process is that there are so many little rules and things about context that I know about a word that I had to find a way to teach Chapel. Because you can learn the phonetics of certain letters and words, but if you, like the word red, for instance, the sound of red sounds like the color.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the first thing that she's going to go to, but it's spelled R-E-A-D. And so what is she saying? I thought that was the word read. Mm. Isn't that read? Well, no, honey. But in this context of this sentence, they've read this book in the past. Well, it just made me question a lot. Like, I have to somehow pass this along to her and she doesn't understand.
And it's probably difficult. I've heard this about the English language, that it is one of the hardest ones. One, because we have so many words that mean the same thing. I think that's homonym, right?
That's right.
And some of them are spelled differently, but have different meanings. Some of them are spelled the same and have different meanings. And it is tough as little kids, once they learn the word red, and like you say, they probably learned the color before they learn R-E-A-D version.
Right. Absolutely.
And their brains keep, when you see red, they keep looking for the color and know you're talking about the person who finished reading a book.
And that it's so interesting because today's interview is all about biases, right? You've heard us talk about the backwards bicycle video where this guy learns to ride a bicycle backwards, right? When you turn to the right, it turns left. And when you turn the handlebars to the left, it turns right. And he just goes into how difficult it was for him to learn to ride this bicycle the opposite way. In fact, it took him like 8 months, spoiler alert, but you can get that video in our show notes. But today's guest, Garrick McCarty, is a longtime client and first longtime friend of mine for like 20 years, but he goes into his own biases. When he learned about infinite banking from me, a longtime friend, he kind of shares some background on what was going through his head. And it was all based off of what he thought about money prior to that conversation.
Yeah, I think that we hold this bias. We feel like there's this truth that we know. And so when we hear something counter to that, sometimes it's hard, sometimes impossible to change and to accept. And I think this interview was a great one because it took Garrick four years and his own learning, his own gaining understanding and experiences started to break down some of those barriers that helped him see what you had been telling him the whole time was truth. But from everything that he had seen, he was looking back at the word just like chapel and seeing R-E-D, but you were talking about R-E-A-D. Right. And I think that that's really important. So as you're listening to this podcast today, I just want to challenge you with this thought is, what biases do you have in your life as it pertains to money? And it may be you get everything there is about what we're talking about, but maybe there's a bias somewhere else. Maybe there's something else that's holding you back. And maybe you got to take inventory personally, like Garrick shares in this interview, of what is holding you back and start seeing a pattern. And I just think that listening to this interview, Joey, I was inspired by the simplicity at which he shares and is so transparent what went on in his life. And I'm also like inspired by the mindset shift and the successes that he's getting to.
Yeah. So make sure you have your notepad out, take notes to learn from somebody who is in there doing it. He's a member of our community and he shares all these different insights. Let's jump into the interview with Garrick McCarty.
If you've been listening to our podcast, you're like, man, I love what you guys are talking about. I want to build passive income through one of these five pillars that you're talking about. But how do I do it? Stallion, tell them. It is so easy.
So easy that we created the longest URL possible. So you may want to write this down. freecall.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. Go to freecall.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com and you can set up your call with one of us. We're excited to talk to you.
Welcome into the show. We have Garrick McCarty joining us live, man. So glad to have you in the show today.
Very glad to be here, guys.
Garrick, man, I'm interested in hearing your story. I know you've known Joey for a long time. You guys actually worked together in a previous world professionally. Joey, I think, helped you with the mortgage. But
there was back even further than that, Russ.
Well, I know it was. I know it was. But he knew you as the guy that was, you know, the robber and the stealer in the mortgage days, right?
Exactly right.
The one that was taking money out of your pocket instead of helping put money into your pocket. So, yeah, we won't go back before that because who knows what sort of stories may come out. We'll keep that offline. All right. Right. But you told us that there was a book that you read that sent you on a mission. That book was, if I recall, it was How to Pay Off Your House in 5 to 7 Years.
How to Pay Off Your House in 5 to 7 Years with a Home Equity Line of Credit.
With the home equity line of credit. All right. So you read this book, you got fired up. You said, man, I want to pay off my house as fast as possible. And you went to implement that. What happened?
I went to the bank and I said, can I get a home equity line of credit? Because that looks like I need one of these.
Right.
And I had just started. Well, I was a couple years in to starting my lawn care business and they took all of my information. I got all these tax returns put together and my wife's income statements. And then they called me back and I said, we can't help you, buddy. And,
wow.
So I got zero.
They couldn't help you because you guys didn't have any equity in the house?
Well, they were saying it's a combination of equity in the home and income because of the short income history that I had with Running Roots at the time. So, I had actually had a home equity line of credit that I closed out because I was in a totally different mindset back in 2015, 2016. But yeah, at the end of the day, I had asked to get some equity back out of our home because we had put a ton of money into it. We probably put $50,000 into the house to renovate it. We bought it on a short sale. So we knew we were kind of getting it at a great price at the time. And yeah, we just couldn't realize, we couldn't use any of that we had locked up into the mortgage at that point.
Man, you sort of probably feel cheated at that point, right? Like I've put money into this thing. I've been a good customer. Now I've got this great idea that I can pay off my house. And if you have never heard this strategy, what Garrick's referring to is that there's an approach where people would use a line of credit. They get paid at the beginning of the month. They take that payment 100% and put it down on the line of credit. Then as throughout the month, they would take payments from the line of credit to pay for the normal bills. And what you've done is reduced your daily average balance on your equity line. So you're excellently able to accelerate the payoff of that equity line faster because as your principal sitting in there, more of it is eating up the principal and less is going to interest. And And so now you've read this book, you're passionate about attacking this approach, but they're telling you, wait a second, this equity you have in here is not yours. It's ours, and we're not going to give you access to it.
That's exactly right. So oh, I just started trying to brainstorm, what can I do? And I go back even 4 years prior to that, talking to Joey about the infinite banking concept and having access to your money. And I remember even 4 years ago, this was 2017, I think, at the time, but 4 years prior, just I would stay up at night trying to run through these numbers, like, how does this work? They call it an and asset. What does that mean? I could not connect the dots. So I listened to tons of podcasts over those years. I mean, it really was about 4 years of just trying to figure out. And I think there's a lot more information now than there even was back then. But that book in 2017 about the home equity line of credit really flipped the switch with my mind and money in terms of utilizing, having control of it, having access to it, and then seeing how the bank wouldn't let me use it.
Well, and that happens. I mean, I think sometimes we talk about the cost of having our money not at work for us. And, you know, we show and have done videos on this, like the cost of borrowing money or paying things with cash versus using our cash values. And we can show definitively, hey, when you pay for something with cash, there is a cost. What you're giving up is what that cash could have earned for you during that time, any taxes that may have happened on it. But most people never see it because, like you said, their mindset is not focused on it. Just like your mindset was not focused on how this having more control of your money really worked until you were brought face to face with the fact that you were no longer in control of it.
That's right. And my wife was not happy because we had a bathroom that hadn't been updated since 1950. And we had pumped all extra income into the mortgage. So we were just stuck. We were using a real old toilet at that point.
So. Nice. So just so I don't assume, and by the way, I think the conversation that I had with you about the equity line really challenged me and was instrumental in me coming up with the video that we subsequently made called Income Equals Premium. You can find it on YouTube. It's one of those common questions people have after reading Become Your Own Banker. Like, how do I get, okay, if this works for a portion of my income or a portion of my savings, how can I get all my dollars to go through my bank versus the enemy, the four-letter bank that you just experienced head on? And so I'm grateful that we had that conversation. Yeah. And now that video exists and it's helped a lot of people. But what was it about paying your mortgage off that you were so kind of dead set, man, I'm excited about this. Like, take us back to that point.
Yeah.
Why was that such a big deal to you?
Well, whenever I worked in the car wash industry, I lived in Atlanta. We followed these baby steps to get out of debt, to pay off some student loans that we had, and to pay our mortgage down even in Atlanta. I paid every extra bit of money and income that we had, we would put it into a mortgage payment or either paying off debt. Debt was paid off fairly quickly. We saved up to buy a car, and then we bought a minivan. We started having kids, and then that money was gone. It was in this old nasty 2005 van that I bought used. And then I started saving again, and I just started thinking, I'm still making a car payment, but I went from having, you know, at that point, $15,000 to put down on a car to zero. And then I started up that uphill save again with zero in the bank account. So I was in that mindset of just pay down debt at all costs, pay down the mortgage as quickly as possible. And then we sold our house and moved to Birmingham. We lost $40,000. When we sold our home, because we just pumped all that money into it. And so even that example just let me know that, man, equity in your home is a fleeting thing. we just put a ton of money into the house, and then we woke up in Birmingham and said, well, that we kissed that goodbye.
And I know that there's this thought process that, man, I want my house to be paid off. My mom, who is in her 70s, has that conversation with me once a year at least. Russ, but don't I really want my house paid off? Because, man, that would just be nice. And the question I always ask behind is, what would be so nice about it? Just like, help me understand. And it's, well, then I wouldn't have that payment. And and then all the things that I could do with that payment really start coming up, right? It's like, so really it's what I want is I want to spend more money, and I see this mortgage as the thing that's prohibiting me. So, I love this when it comes to the conversation of paying off houses or not. And I think sometimes we our emotional behaviors, our behavioral economics get in the way of actual sound finance, because we allow emotion to dictate what we're doing. So reality is, if I'm going to live in the same house, it's going to cost me the same amount of money either way. Now, some may say, well, I've chosen a house that's too rich for my blood, right? and I'm not going to tell you that. But if that's the case, then hey, you know, then maybe you do need to back off.
Yeah.
But if you're going to live in the same house, no matter what, I'm going to have a payment, whether I take it out of my pocket and I pay it off, or I'm going to have a payment that I pay to the mortgage company, because what that money could have worked and earned for me is what would have been in my right hand. But if I use that money, I don't have it. So what we get down to is, like, what could our money be doing instead? Does it give us more options or flexibility, potentially more return? Because I really don't like to get really big into, well, what if I invest my equity, which, by the way, I have. Now, I've invested in things that I understand, like our business, for one. I've done some real estate transactions and loose understandings in some of those areas. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that 100%. But in the areas that you understand, I do think there's a lot of value. But let's just say we break even. If we take the money and we don't make that extra payment, it's sitting over an account that could be earning interest or being put to work in something we know. Are we in a better position? So let's fast forward a little bit. So you're at that point. You said, I want to pay this off. You read this book. Now you're at the bank. They're telling you no. You pick up the phone. You say, wait a second, let me call Joey. I remember 4 years ago, the stallion was trying to tell me something about using a life insurance policy.
I was a gelding at that point. I don't think I was a stallion.
A Shetland pony, probably. I like it. And I would like to say that I don't know if you're much more than that. You're more like one of those rainbow bright Barbie ponies now or something.
Man, okay. All right.
But so you're at that point, you say, all right, let me go back, because maybe there's something there. Like, what was that point where you said, where you connected the dots? Well, maybe what Joey was saying connects the dots. Help me with that.
Well, it actually, so once I called Joey up and I said, I just read this book, man. What do you think? He said, let's talk a little bit more. So we had even a few more follow-up conversations, just more about what it would mean to utilize an infinite banking concept policy, you know. So there were still a lot of questions in my head, but I knew Joey for 20 years prior, so I trusted Joey. And I made the decision that if I can get some of this money back, I am going to start pushing it into a policy.
Without skipping forward, I hate to stop you, because I know you're rolling, but you said there were a couple of questions that you still had. Talk about those questions.
I could not understand the high premiums and the loss, you know, those first few years where you put in I was looking at a $10,000 a year, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, up to $50,000 a year policy. I saw what year one looked like.
Yeah.
You know, after you wait, a month or so, you get access to some of that cash back. Yeah. But there was some that you didn't have access to, and that bothered me.
Oh, yeah.
It bothered me in year two, you know, to look at, okay, I'm making premium payment number two. So in some of these podcasts that I would listen to, they kept saying, work on your mind to understand or to change the terminology that it's not a premium payment that you're waving by to forever. It's a deposit that's going to come back. So that was a big concept for me, just to look at 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road of what it would mean to just get started. And I remember hearing a podcast, I think it was one of your podcasts, where a guy said, think about every year that you wait on starting one of these policies and then go to the end and take that year away. Like, good grief, why do I want to keep waiting? Right. Even with all the questions that I had that were still out there. And I still have some of those questions answered today, even, you know, 2.5 years into doing this, practicing this concept. But that was a big one, is just seeing premium payments as a deposit into my account. And to see how the money that wasn't there year one, you know, month number two, is going to come back and continue to snowball.
Well, and I can see that too, because you could probably relate it to a couple of different things. One, you relate it to, I put money into a house, right? Like I put money in there and I expected it to come back. But when we sold our house and moved, you said, I lost $40,000. You see, like, you're like, oh, wait a second. If I don't get access to that money back, that's going to be a problem. Yep. But then on the other hand, as you started a new business, right, you transitioned to being a business owner, you're putting money and effort and time into that business. Because I know you could have went and worked somewhere else and made more money those first couple of years. Mm-hmm. But yet, you know, my effort, my time are going to have a long-term payoff, right? So I'm going to put a dollar's worth of effort in, and I know I'm not going to get a dollar out of it today.
That's right.
But the goal is to get, you know, $7 out in the future.
That's right.
For that same dollar. And so were you starting to see that? Were you making the connection between those two things?
I was. And actually starting my own business actually helped with that mindset change. You know, Nelson Nash talking about getting the business going, you know, buying the chairs, you know, buying the countertops, the computers, the whatnot, you know, it all just started to make sense, where at one point it just didn't register with me. But and so, yeah, starting my own business helped a ton.
Which, so I want to back up one more further. So clearly I was a gelding in the day, you know, not necessarily, I don't even know if that's a proper term, by the way. Is gelding something worse than I'm thinking?
I thought it was gilding.
Maybe like gelding? A castrated horse.
I
was not that, if that was the case. Okay, so forgive me. But let's go back to like 4 years prior, and we're talking about infinite banking. What was your very first kind of inclination? You're hearing me talk about this crazy idea that I've been doing, and what was your initial thought at that point? Because obviously you came a long way in 4 years. You started thinking differently about being a business owner, so on. But at that point, 4 years prior, what was it like?
I thought I was so anti whole life insurance that I just felt sorry for you.
I mean, just like if he was a gelding, which, by the way, Wikipedia didn't tell me that is a castrated horse.
Okay. So I was not castrated at the time. Okay. Just saying.
Okay. So you were feeling bad for him. You're like, man, this guy sells insurance for a living.
I know. And I had even, while I was in Atlanta, I tried to do a little side hustle in the insurance business. I wanted to sell term insurance with this company. I don't think we share company names on the podcast, but I went through that process. So I was just waving the flag of buy term, invest the difference. And I was getting trained on how to sell insurance, and I was about to start taking my test to do it. So again, I was anti whole life insurance, more so than your common guy.
Yeah.
So whenever you started talking even, about that,
you weren't even listening at that point.
I felt bad for you. You know, I'm like, man, this guy was doing pretty well. What's he doing now?
Yeah. Like,
so, what, but I mean, again,
what have you done, Jay?
Yeah. My Little Pony.
So, what was there anything else besides that, or was that literally like the stone wall? Like, I'm not even listening to anything beyond this, because this is so, I'm so anti what he's talked about, base level.
It was very difficult, because you lost me at whole life insurance.
Yeah.
And given the circles that I was running in at that point, I mean, it's like changing religions, you know.
It's like switching from an Auburn fan to an Alabama fan, or
oh my goodness, yes, almost that bad.
Here's a video, Garrick. Have you ever seen the backwards bicycle video?
Yes.
If you're listening, you've never watched that video, Google.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, or go to show notes. Backwards bicycle. And that was a huge eye opener for me as to why we have this bias, right? Because we see things through the lens of which we've been trained and learned. And the guy in the video is talking about how these engineers created a bicycle. When you turn the handlebars right instead of the wheel turning right, it actually turns left and vice versa. And he goes around the world. He teaches people, you know, about different things. But one of the instruments, he's trying to say that knowledge doesn't equal understanding and that we see things from a bias. And his point is that you can't overcome that bias. He took him 8 months every afternoon going out and trying to ride this bike until he got to the point where he actually could then ride the bike to where when he turned the handlebar right, it turned left and he could actually stay on it. Like, it's one of my friends had built one of these bicycles, Garrick. I tried to do it. It was so frustrating. You can't make one revolution of the pedal. You will fall on your face. And it is so frustrating, but it's because we've been trained. And the beauty of this video is whenever he actually then goes and meets up with these people and tries to ride a bike a normal way after having ridden this backwards bicycle for so long. It took him like 30 or 40 minutes before he could ever ride the other one because his brain had to switch back to the old way. And I think that's true, is that you said following the baby steps, and you had started down this path of, man, I'm going to kind of follow that approach of buy term, invest the difference. So now you have this bias, you have this approach that you're going to take. Joey comes and it doesn't really matter what the idea is at that point. Is we're blocked, right?
Right.
And I think that's great to accept, because I think if you're listening to this podcast right now, you may have heard us talk about this. You may love all the stuff we talk about, real estate or private lending or business ownership, but you're like, man, I just don't get that life insurance piece. And I get it. I know why, because you're coming from a learned perspective. Now, let's talk about, for you, how was breaking down that wall of, you know, hey, I thought everything that Joey was telling me, I liked him, I trusted him, but this whole life insurance is hard for me to get over.
Yeah.
What were some of those first moments outside of just personal experience with the equity line? What were some of those moments where the light bulb started to happen, where you really started to see that wall coming down because, man, maybe I've been looking at this all wrong.
Yep. Well, probably since 2006 or 2007, at the end of each year, I kind of go through this life plan, this thing a guy named Michael Hyatt developed. And I just ask myself, you know, you look at the pillars of your life, you look at financial as one of them. Where am I? What's the, you know, where do I want to go? And I look back at the history. I'm like, I have had year after year of this mindset, and here's where I am today. And it was not a ton of savings. Here in Birmingham, got equity locked up in a house, and looking to the future, you know, we had at the time three girls, and thinking, if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'm going to keep being where I am. and I knew that something had to change. And I feel like very, very much God's grace in these conversations happening and these questions happening and just creating that rub there and listening to these podcasts, reading Becoming Your Own Banker, reading the How to Pay Your Home Off in 5 to 7 years. And then there was another thing. I just thought about this, that my father-in-law over the years, he has loaned us money. He's not an infinite banker guy, but it was that phrase just kind of stuck out to me. I'm like, how does he do this? Well, and he's loaning us money, which at the very beginning, I'm like, why doesn't he just give us the money? What's all this loan? That's
right. So he really loved his daughter. He would just give it to us.
That's right. So even having that as a modeled example outside of the IBC world, you know, just him coming in and say, well, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to get you through this patch, or I'm going to help you buy this piece of equipment or this trailer. He loaned to buy a trailer for the lawn care business and then pay him back a little interest, and just kind of seeing how that worked inside the family, a lot less stress, a lot less pressure. Now it makes Thanksgiving turkey taste a little different, but still, I just see the power of being able to keep stuff inside the family. And then more and more conversations with Joey. And when I say I listen, I do lawn care. I probably listen to 10 podcasts every day. So I'm running out of material by this point. So it's like, I'm just going to pull the trigger. So those are some things that I kind of went through. But even having that modeled inside the family, outside of the IBC umbrella, but similar concept of what he's practicing. So.
I love it. So you finally you pull the trigger, as you said.
Yeah.
You go to Joey, start these policies up. Let's talk about what you mentioned earlier, mindset. You started seeing things differently. Talk about some of the things that are happening now, two and a half years after starting these policies. Just give us a glimpse into what that looks like.
Well, my confidence level in the future, in the financial future, has you know, been on an upward trajectory since we started. A lot more confidence in that, simply because of some of these practices we're putting into place now through an infinite banking policy. So let me say this, we did sell our house. That was one of the big things that was kind of a catalyst to help us start these policies.
Okay.
Because I had so much of that money pushed into equity. Yeah. And where the bank said, we're not going to give you any equity, I put a for sale sign, we have a contract, in like 3 days, and we realized like a little over 200 grand worth of equity in the house, where the bank said, no, we're not going to give you any access to that.
You had 200,000 of equity in the house, and the bank is like, nah, I'm not going to let you have access to that.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
And your wife is like, 200 grand and modern plumbing, let's do it.
Totally. So we were able to take some of that and start a policy.
Okay.
And once we had policy going, even through networking through guys in our community and the Wealth Without Wall Street community, we start lending to them as they're flipping homes. Lindsay and I fund the rehab portion of their flips. And then once the flip is complete, we get paid back with interest. So we've done that several times. And even now, whereas in 2016, this would have never happened. You know, we're here in 2019, and I've made multiple, at least offers on self-storage multifamily properties this year, because I have the confidence to do that. The mindset change in terms of how to grow cash flow. Whereas it used to be, I put a little bit in my Roth IRA and Lindsay's 401k and just move forward. And then most of it into our home. Whereas now it's just a totally different thinking about the future.
Now,
so and, Garrett, and level of confidence.
So Garrett, somebody, I'm play devil's advocate. Somebody hears you saying this and they say, well, Garrett, you bought a policy. You didn't buy a manual on cash flow. So
that's right.
How did your thinking change? It wasn't buying a policy that made your thinking change.
That's true. Buying the policy and seeing how money was there waiting to do something. And I had to tell it what to do. So the need for educating myself was at a premium at that point, where I'd never even thought about that kind of stuff. So you start thinking, all right, how am I going to keep this money moving appropriately in situations where I feel comfortable? Things I can somewhat control. So then I start listening to real estate podcasts, because I've always wanted, I love the idea of real estate. I've seen my father-in-law do it, and I've seen some others do it, and just watched how they've done it over the sidelines. I never thought it was going to be a possibility for us. But because cash is sitting there, waiting to be told what to do, I felt I had to start reading, and change some of the podcast up, because it was always infinite banking type of podcast, and it kind of morphed into real estate podcast and things like that.
So what I'm hearing as far as your journey, which is totally common to this process, and it is a process, right? That's the thing that we want to point out, is infinite banking is not a product. It's not a life insurance product that just solves all issues. You said, hey, I'm going to take back control by putting money in a place where I need to. I love how you said that. I need to tell it what to do, that you have to take control. But there's also responsibility which comes with that, which says, OK, now I have to pick a path. Mm-hmm. And to pick a path, you had to educate yourself. Because as you know, from listening to the podcast, we talk about all sorts of strategies that people then tell their money what to do, right? Whether it's real estate, whether it's multifamily, whether it's lending, as you've mentioned. And mm-hmm. so you started to try a couple things and mm-hmm. figure it out. So how did you narrow your path down to some of the top things that you wanted to then deploy your capital towards?
Well, listening to you guys, listening to others, I kind of think through what is it that I have the most control over today? And running Roots Lawn Care is number one. So I started looking at, okay, where are we with running Roots? Well, I had some debt out there with my company, with some equipment, and with some product purchases that I'd made just to start killing weeds. Well, I bought that debt. So mm-hmm. Lindsay and I loaned Running Roots money, and now Running Roots has turned those payments from going to the suppliers back to us, which each month those payments are available to be used for something else. And that in and of itself has created a ton of air in the room when it comes to running Roots Lawn Care. A lot more freedom, a lot less stress. If we hit a spell where we go through a drought and I need to delay putting an application down for a few weeks, well, I just don't pay myself back for that month. And then I start back the next month if that's what I need to do. But I have that flexibility. Right now I make $2,000 a month worth of payments back to myself. It's not income. It's a debt payment. But there's tons of flexibility there. That's number one, is where I started with the business, and then thinking through, okay, what else? And then I love recurring. I learned that with Jim Dudley in the car wash business, the little quick $5 car washes over and over again. And now I've got $50 lawn sprays over and over again. And I want $800 rents over and over again. So thinking through that.
It's a happening. You're using it. Action is taking place, and now you're seeing the results. Man, this has been amazing. I know the person listening to you right now is taking away these little nuggets. So I want to ask you two last questions. The first one is, what would you tell somebody sitting on the fence right now who hasn't taken action into the infinite banking world? And you obviously took a long time. So time is an issue for some people, but what would you say to that person?
I totally get it. If it takes you a while, I would say, don't let it take you a while and with lack of educating yourself. So be proactive in getting information in your brain. You do not need to just sit there and wonder. You need to, if you're going to wonder, get information and wonder. But the more information you get, I feel like you're going to eventually pull the trigger. I mean, I am, again, I don't know if you could be more skeptical than I was. And I pulled the trigger, and I love it. I'm so thankful. And I wish I would have in 2014. I wish I would have figured out a way. I wish I would have never canceled that HELOC in the first place. So I would say that is keep learning. Just don't idly wonder if it's a good thing. Dig in.
And the second thing I want to ask is about the community. You've been a member of our community. You've probably heard us, as you're listening to this, we talk about the Wealth Without Wall Street community. It's a place where we're talking about how to stop trading time for money. We have experts in there pouring in, but as much as anything, we have you, Garrett, in there telling about your story, asking questions. So what has been your experience inside the community? And what could you share with somebody who is listening to you right now and wondering how does that play into this whole process?
On an online group or a group inside an app like it is, there's I'm always hesitant to make comments or fire off questions. And what I have found is I can fire off a question and you know, I'm not getting berated like I would on a Facebook page. We're all family in this app. And we're all trying to learn it in this group, in this community. And there's a level of safety just to be able to ask stupid questions. I've even recommended having a task bar on the side that says stupid questions and just give me the freedom to fire away. But I do feel that freedom. That's been great. I've been able to, to even meet a couple guys. One of the guys on the app or in our group, I saw him at Johnny Ray's and I just saw his picture. I'm like, Wealth Without Wall Street. He said, yeah, I recognize your bald head. So, being able to connect with people that are around that are thinking about or doing the same thing. What? So there's,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but what would you put the value on having access to a business consultant like Justin within the community? How has that helped your business? Like, this is kind of transitioning to the future. Like you said, that's where you wanted to start with investing your capital to grow your business. I mean, I think having Justin in the deal is amazing. But
absolutely,
what's been your experience on that?
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten quotes from guys, $500, $700 a month to do some coaching, and I have not pulled the trigger on it. And then seeing Justin in this group, I don't know that people understand the value if they haven't gone out and got some prices, what it would take to have a community like this. So I think that alone is worth it for me. But being able to communicate like this, the Q&As, hearing what guys are doing with rental properties. I mean, you can get a high level view on a lot of these podcasts that you listen to, but inside this community, you get some nuts and bolts that can really spark you to take action. I think a guy like me, especially because I need to find the facts first, and I get a lot of those inside this community.
Man, that's so great. Thank you so much for being so open and transparent and just sharing. It's so refreshing to hear that. I'm so excited too, as you wrap up this year and you go back to your Michael Hyatt stuff and you start to see what the future holds, because of everything you've said, I know that the confidence level is just continuing to soar. And I'm just excited just to continue to watch you and Lindsay. It just reach those goals that you've set out for yourself. So thank you again, Garrett, for coming on. It's been a real pleasure.
It's my pleasure.
Dad, do you have to go to work today? If you're tired of having to answer yes to that question and you're ready to stop trading time for money, join Russ and I on this journey to financial freedom at community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. This is the place where you can take control. You can pick your own path and get there faster. Go to community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand, so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.